Isaiah chapter 9 tonight. If you have now or have had a really good dad, your wish is that he could be an everlasting father, that you would never have to say goodbye. I don't care what kind of a relationship you had with your dad, you miss him terribly after he's gone. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Well, first of all, let's look at the mystery of the title, Everlasting Father. The Bible says in this verse, a child is born, a son is given. He is identified as the second person of the Trinity. So how can he be the Son and the Father? Each person of the Godhead is separate, yet one, each having different ministries to perform, each one equally God. But the Son is not the Father, and the Father is not the Son. So how does that happen? The answer lies in the Jewish use of the term father. When any Hebrew reads Isaiah 9:6, the term father means originator or author of. Okay? John called Satan in John chapter 8 and verse 44 the father of all lies, the originator of all lies, the author of all lies. In Genesis 4:20, Jabal was called the father of such that dwell in tents. He was the originator of those who lived in tents and had cattle, ranchers. In calling Jesus the everlasting father, the prophet is saying this: he is the originator of that which is everlasting. He is the author of eternity in our lives. Everlasting is a term that is so immense, so vast, the finite, limited human mind cannot grasp eternity. Everything we know has a beginning and an end, except God. When you consider something that has always been, your mind gets hopelessly lost. When you consider something that will always be, your mind gets hopelessly lost the other way. We don't have the capacity to fit the infinite in our very, very limited, finite minds. It doesn't fit. I don't think that we should get an ulcer over it. We have a beginning, but we don't have an end. You understand that. We are an eternal, immortal being. All of us will live forever, either with God or apart from God. Don't let that pass casually through your mind. None of us know when this life will end and eternity will begin, either with God or apart from God. An eternal heaven is the most beautiful thought known to man. An eternal hell is the most frightening thought known to man. According to Psalms 100, God is the author of eternity in our lives. You decide if it will be in heaven or if it will be in hell. You become a part of the very eternity and life of Jesus Christ. And that is why you were made. There is something deep down inside each one of us that is not satisfied with a time-only existence. To exist just the short time we have on this earth. Something inside says there is something more than that. Is life a hassle and then you die? You don't believe that. You can't believe that, and neither do I. Thomas Wolfe, who an acclaimed author, had a son by the name of Benjamin, and Benjamin died. And in his circles, some of his friends was discussing existential theology, and they were talking about the nothingness of life and the nothingness of death. And Thomas Wolfe interrupted them and made this statement. You can believe in the nothingness of life and you can believe in the nothingness of death, but you cannot believe in the nothingness of being. And that's exactly right, ladies and gentlemen. We don't believe that, and we can't. We have a deep craving for that which is eternal. That large crowd that is out there where there is no time for worship and no time for prayer and no time for the Bible. What they essentially say is this: time is all that matters. Eternity doesn't matter. But that's not true, of course. Jesus Christ stepped into the world to reveal to us what God thinks about us. When Jesus walked the earth, he never saw people as just temporary. He saw them and treated them as eternal. How important that is. There was always care and decency and dignity given to everyone because everyone is eternal. He never treated anyone as a loser or superficial or cheap or unworthy. Jesus always saw people in eternity and not time. Before Jesus ever came into the world through the Virgin Mary, God had already given him up as the slain lamb before the foundation of the world. God stepped into time by his Son and said, there is something more important than time. It is eternity. Please don't live for time. Please live for eternity. When time and eternity met at the cross, who won? Well, of course, Jesus won. Go with me to John chapter 10. Oh, you got to love John chapter 10 in your Bible. John chapter 10, and look at verse 28. And this is speaking directly to your heart and to my heart from Almighty God. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. The only way I can have eternal life is through the originator of eternal life, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the cross so that eternity in heaven could be offered to you, could be offered to me. My time on earth has an end. I was somewhat amused, but it also kind of troubled me. I saw my doctor this past week, and he said, Kim, you have about 5 years. I said, are you seeing something that I'm not seeing? I feel good every day, doc. He said, nah, about 5 years. Okay. My point is this. Our time on earth has an end. The doctor doesn't know when that's going to be. Only one knows, and that's God. But if the originator of eternity is a part of my life, and he is, life is changed to a far better estate when I pass through that veil of sorrow that we call death. Go with me to Revelation chapter 10. Last book in your Bible, chapter 10. Revelation chapter 10 and verse 6. And swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. When the angel declares that time will be no more, where will you be? Well, that depends on what you have done with the everlasting Father, with Jesus Christ in your life. You understand, the church doesn't save you. Baptism doesn't save you. Good works doesn't save you. Church membership doesn't save you. You are saved because of one thing, and that is the acceptance of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior according to what he did on the cross for you. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for giving your Son to us. Dear Jesus, thank you for your willingness to leave heaven and come to this old dusty earth. You had walked on streets of gold, and then you walked on this old earth. And you knew that you would be despised and rejected, that people would clamor for your death, that you would be hunted, that most of the world would not accept you. And if, Father, we are still living in those kind of days where most of this world is not accepted of Jesus Christ, they do not accept him. And Father, it hurts our heart when somebody just blatantly tells us, when we read it or when we see it on television, and they are doing everything they know against a life lived for eternity. So dear Father, thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for allowing us to be here this evening. Speak to our hearts. Thank you for this church, the dear people that we need and that we love, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen.